God. Good morning, church. Today's reading is taken from Romans 15, 14 to 33. I myself am convinced, my brothers and sisters, that you yourselves are full of goodness, filled with knowledge, and competent to instruct one another. Yet, I've written you quite boldly on some points to remind you of them again, because of the grace God gave me to be a minister of Jesus Christ to the Gentiles. He gave me the priestly duty of proclaiming the gospel of God so that the Gentiles might become an offering acceptable to God, sanctified by the Holy Spirit. Therefore, I glory in God and Christ Jesus in my service of God. I will not venture to speak of anything except what Christ has accomplished through me in leading the Gentiles to obey God, what I have said and done. By the power of signs and wonders, through the power of the Spirit of God. So from Jerusalem all the way around to Illyricum, I've fully proclaimed the gospel of Christ. It has always been my ambition to preach the gospel where Christ was not known, so that I would not be building on someone else's foundation. Rather, as it is written, those who were not told about him will see, and those who have not heard it will understand. This is why I have often been hindered from coming to you. But now that there is no more place for me to work in these regions, and since I have been longing for many years to visit you, I plan to do so when I go to Spain. I hope to see you while passing through and to have you assist me on my journey there. After I have enjoyed your company for a while. Now, however, I am on my way to Jerusalem in the service of the Lord's people there. From Macedonia and Achaia, we're pleased to make a contribution for the poor among the Lord's people in Jerusalem. They were pleased to do it, and indeed, they owe it to them. For if the Gentiles have shared in Jews' spiritual blessings, they owe it to the Jews to share with them their material blessings. So after I've completed the task, and have made sure that they have received this contribution, I will go to Spain and visit you on the way. I know that when I come to you, I will come in the full measure of the blessing of Christ. I urge you, brothers and sisters, by our Lord Jesus Christ and by the love of the Spirit, to join me in my struggle by praying to God for me. Pray that I may be kept safe from the unbelievers in Judea, and that the contribution I take to Jerusalem may be favorably received by the Lord's people there, so that I may come to you with joy by God's will, and in your company be refreshed. The God of peace be with you all. Amen. This is the word of the Lord.
Thank you, Amanda, for praying. Thank you, Justin, for reading. If you could keep your Bibles open to that passage as we go through God's word, would you pray with me right now? Dear Lord, I thank you for this day. I thank you that we can come. I thank you that you are a God that has done great things for us. Lord, I pray that you would open our hearts, you would open our minds to see how we can join you, Lord, in your mission. I pray that you would use me, Lord, to speak your words. I pray that these would be your words and not my words, Lord. I pray all of this in Jesus' name. Amen. So we have many parents here. I'm sure, parents, that you've probably encountered, or maybe a teacher, have encountered this situation where your kids are standing there dreaming of being a superhero. And maybe they've come to you and said, "Dad, Mom, I want to be a superhero. What can I do?" For my brother and I, we wanted to be the Power Rangers. That is the superheroes that we wanted to be. Specifically, I wanted to be the pink one, and my brother wanted to be the blue one. And our parents, being the loving parents that they were, right, said, sure, you can be a superhero. And they went out and they bought us these Power Ranger jackets and the Mighty Morphin Power Ranger sword. Man, we were superheroes. Joining God's mission is like receiving that sword and becoming superheroes. But for us believers, that sword we receive is godly ambition. It is the ambition to go out and share Christ with others and believing that God uses the gospel to make a monumental difference in the world. In this passage, we see how Paul has that godly ambition and join in God's mission. And we can see how we can do the same. We really do it in three ways. First, we join the mission of God, which is sharing the gospel. Two, it is acknowledging, well, that it is God's power in us that allows us to share. And three, well, it is actively participating in God's greater mission. So again, what is this mission that we are joining? Well, in verses 14 to 16, well, we see, well, that it is sharing the gospel. In this section, Paul introduces himself. And he shares with them what he's called to do. In fact, the first verse 14, right, he shares with he commends the Roman church, well, for their faith, right? In verse 15, right, he's telling them, look, he's so far in this letter has written kind of harsh things, and he says, look, I can write these things. Why? Well, his mission in verse 16 was to be a minister of Christ to the Gentiles. That was his mission. That's why he's able to speak boldly to them. He was proclaiming the gospel to those who did not know Christ. In fact, he gives us this imagery of a priest presenting an offering to God, right? This is what he says is his mission. He gives us this imagery, right, where he is this priest offering, well, the Gentiles as an offering. If this sounds familiar to you, well, this actually comes from Romans 12:1, at the beginning of this series, right? Therefore, I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as a living sacrifice. If you remember, right, what it means is that, well, that we accept, when we accept Christ as our Savior, well, we offer ourselves as this offering. We are transformed by the Spirit of God. And Paul presents, well, the Gentiles that accept God's mercy through hearing the gospel as this offering, and it is acceptable to God. And it is the Spirit that sanctifies them, that makes them clean of their sin, that changes them. It is the Spirit that makes them more and more like Christ. And as we have been taught in the last few chapters, in the last few weeks in Romans, well, Christians live differently than the world. Well, because of the transforming power in us, because of the gospel that is in us, we live differently. This is the mission that we all share. Proclaiming the gospel for all to hear so that they too will be changed. Will you join? Will you join in this mission in sharing Christ with the world? Maybe a better question is, are you equipped to share the gospel when the time comes? I encourage you to prepare yourself. prepare yourself to share Christ with others. Maybe this means, well, you need to learn a gospel presentation. You need to know, well, how do I share this good news with someone? If someone came up to you today and said, hey, I've heard this thing about Jesus, can you tell me more? Would you be able to answer? Actually, one of the sections we have in Solid Rock Saturday is the five-minute gospel, where the kids learn how all these different gospel presentations, so that they're able actually to share this when they can. It could be the gospel in your hand. It could be the three circles. Maybe you just scrapped that idea. Maybe just try, well, sharing the gospel, summarizing it in 1 minute and practicing it. Actually, one of the best ways to share the gospel actually is through our testimony, right? What God has done in us is so impacting. Why not practice that? If someone asks you, hey, what is this God about? Well, hey, have I told you about my testimony? Have I told you about the most amazing thing that's happened to me in my life? Well, there's this God that's happened in my life. Practice that. It's a great way to share Christ with others. Maybe you have this prepared. Are you actively seeking out opportunities to share? It could be with your children. It could be with your lunch, at lunch with your coworkers. I know there are students out here. I know some of you are prepared. You know the gospel. You know what God has done. Are you prepared? When you're waiting for your next class, or maybe when you're hanging out with your friends after school, pray. Pray for God's direction and look for that opportunity to strike up this godly conversation. Join in this mission. See, we join in this mission of sharing the gospel. Well, it's possible because we realize that it is Christ's power through us that allows us to share. It is Christ's power through us that allows us to share. And we see this in verses 17 to 24. Notice here in this section, Paul is sharing about his ministry. And notice what he emphasizes about his ministry. He could have shared anything about his ministry, but notice what he emphasizes in verse 18. It is Christ, it is what Christ has accomplished through him. Let me just say that one more time. It is what Christ has accomplished through him. It is everything that God has done. He is just this vessel. It is God who leads the Gentiles to obedience through his word. It is God who gives Paul the power to do these miraculous signs and wonder. It is the Spirit of God, well, who brings conviction. Verse 20 says, it is Christ in him that he is able to bring the gospel to the places where Christ has not known. So he acknowledges that it is Christ who does the work. In fact, we see this in his plans. Verses 22 to 24, we see that Paul has been trying to get to the Romans. He's been trying to get there. He has this great desire to come and visit them. He's been trying several times. But because God needs him elsewhere, he has not yet gotten there. He's trying to go. God says, hey, I need you here. He goes. He knows, actually, in this case, he actually has to go help the church in Jerusalem first, bringing them this offering. He knows, well, that it's not his ministry, that it is God's ministry, and accepts the changes when God changes his plans. See, Paul is someone who knows that it is Christ that works in him. And it follows Christ's plan. The amazing thing about God is that he allows us to participate in his great story. He uses us as his instruments to do his kingdom work. My question is, well, do you recognize that it is God working in you? actually takes away a lot of the pressure, a lot of the fear. God can use anyone. He can use any one of us. When we serve, when we share Christ with others, well, that is God working through us. And many times, actually, sometimes it becomes really hard to see that when we're serving. Sometimes it can feel burdensome. Sometimes it's really hard, especially when we feel like our contributions are going unrecognized, when we don't see things working. But if you remember, it's God's ministry. It is God working in you. And that changes everything. It changes your focus on how God is using your service to bless others. See, you'll shift from feeling the burden to being fulfilled, realizing the impact of your work in Christ. Maybe you are a Kingdom Kids teacher or a youth leader. Do you know that God is working in you, reaching the lives of His children and youth? You may be a small group leader. God is working in you to help care for your small group and impacting their lives. You might be on the setup team, the welcome team, the ushering team. God is using you to make church, Shotton Church, a place where people feel comfortable to worship God. You may be on the PA team or the projection team. God is working in you so that everyone can follow along in the service through technology. You may be on the worship team, the service team, the leading team, the intercession team, the reading team. God is working in you to lead the congregation in different aspects of the service. It is not you, it is God in you. In seminary, I took this evangelism class, and we went to the streets of San Francisco and shared Christ with other people. And it's really quite amazing, this story. We all come back and we're debriefing, and my friend shares with us, well, something that God did, not him. And he goes and he shares how he was in the park and he was talking to this guy, and he spent 20 minutes. He took a 5-minute gospel presentation and he made it 20 minutes because he was fumbling, he was so nervous, he was stuttering, and he finally made it through. There's no way, he thought, there's no way this guy is going to come to Christ. Most amazing thing is that this, even though he had butchered the gospel presentation, this man he was speaking to accepted the Lord. It is in this moment that he realized it is God who changes people, and we are simply his vessels. So we have this privilege to work with God. This also means that we accept God's plan rather than our own. Paul's plans were changed several times, but he just went where God called him. If we truly believe that it is God working in us, well, we will be willing to change our plans to match his. I know this is easy to say, because we can easily get frustrated when things don't go our way. I am like this myself. But maybe when things change, maybe this is God saying to us, trust me, I have a plan. Mary Slessler was a missionary in Nigeria, and actually she when she arrived in Nigeria, she actually intended to immediately go into the inner regions of Nigeria, but when she got there, that was not God's plan. Actually, when she got there, she was immediately redirected to a different community. Because there was such hostility and customs happening in the place where she was going to go. She accepts this detour. She doesn't hesitate. She accepts this. And actually, it is in that place where she was redirected where she's able to meet these women and learn about their culture. It is in this place where she's able to end the practice of infanticide. She's in this place where she's able to actually translate the Bible into their language. Her story shows us, well, our plans might change. But see, through obedience, God can direct our steps. and make an immense impact. She reaches out to those people. She eventually does make it into the inner regions of Nigeria. We join in God's mission to share the gospel. We acknowledge Christ's power through us, well, and we participate in God's greater mission. In this next section, 25 to 33, well, Paul explains here his plans for his ministry. He explains, well, that he's bringing an offering to the church in Jerusalem. In fact, this offering is collected by two churches. It's a Macedonian church and a Achaean church. In fact, actually, it's interesting to know, actually, Macedonia is a really poor church. Okay, they're a church in poverty. And yet, in their poverty, they felt such heartache, well, for their brothers and sisters in Jerusalem, probably those who were getting persecuted. And in their poverty, they felt, man, we need to give. Actually, the word there in verse 26, the word contribution there is actually koinonia, fellowship. They feel for their brothers and sisters, and so they gather this offering and bring it to them. That is that feeling that they have. They participate in God's work there. The last section, Paul here asks the church to pray for him, for his journey to Jerusalem. Right? In fact, he's nervous, right? Is asking for protection because there are people that probably want to kill him, right? He's asking too, well, that the Jewish church would actually accept this offering, because it might be hard for them to accept, well, something that was from Gentiles, right, as a Jewish people, right? He's asking, well, that they pray on his behalf. In fact, in verse 30, right, it says, join me in my struggle. Actually, the word there is only used once in this passage, and is this connotation of, well, to fight, to contend with. Calvin notes here actually that Paul is calling his brothers in Christ to pray for him on his behalf. Right? Calvin says this. This shows how the godly ought to pray for their brethren, that they are to assume their person as though they were placed in the same difficulties. He prays with empathy. See, God's mission is broader than just here in Shotton. It's broader than just Hong Kong. Joining in God's mission means that we give and we pray with empathy, well, for our brothers and sisters in Christ around the world. It starts with prayer. I think I was challenged by this when I pray. A lot of times when I pray, it just seems like a bucket list. But when you pray, do you step into the shoes that you are the people that you are praying for? Do you think about the struggles that they are struggling when you pray? Become more active in praying for those around us. Maybe this could be praying for the different ministries that we have or the different mission partners that we have. Just start there. In fact, actually, in 2 weeks, right, we will have our prayer meeting. Join us. Join us. Let us all come together and pray in empathy, with empathy for those people. Many times after we pray, actually, this brings us, well, to give. It softens our hearts and thinks, man, this is what God is doing in the world. How can I give? How can I give to those people? How can I give, well, to the work of Christ that is around the world? Let us join in God's mission, his mission to share Christ to the world. Well, who is this Christ that we are sharing? Christ is the one that can bring change. Christ is the one who makes everything whole. Christ is the one who takes away pain and sorrow. Christ, well, he is the one who died on the cross for our sins and raised to life after 3 days. So that what? Well, so that we might live. Maybe you are sitting here and you've never taken this step to believe this truth. I ask you, what is stopping you from truly following Christ? What is stopping you from allowing Christ to come into your life and bring a transformation? I implore you to allow God to work in you. Maybe you are a believer. I challenge you to join God's mission in bringing the gospel to the world, to bringing this Christ to the world. Maybe take this time to think of one way you can participate in the work of God. Maybe write down someone you will share the gospel with. And not only write that down, write down the plan that you have to reach them. Maybe write down one or more of our mission partners or our ministries that you will empathize and pray for. Do this and allow God to work through you in his mission. Let's pray. Dear Lord, I thank you that you are a God, that you are a God that has come down, that has made a way for us to be with you. I thank you that you are a God that cares for the world. I pray that we would be your people that has that same ambition to share Christ with everyone. Lord, I pray that as we go out, that we would be people that participate in your mission, that we would be people that share your gospel, that we would be people that pray and give to your mission. Lord, I pray all of this in Jesus' name. Amen.